Good evening. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Neil Copeland, Executive VP and Lehigh Valley and Delaware Region President of People, Securities, Bank and Trust, and John Callahan, former Mayor of Bethlehem and currently with FPSF, and Luke Cunningham, President of Westside Electric. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Did I pronounce your names correctly?
Yep, beautiful.
We're off to a good start, Cam.
Okay. This evening, we are going to review the results of the Cameron Afshar Greater Chamber of Commerce Survey of Local Businesses in April. But just a little background before we start. This survey is a quarterly survey of businesses, and we have been doing it since 1997. Yes, it's a long, long time. According to the April survey, business sentiment and the overall confidence in the local economy gave back some of its gains from January, but still, it's still well above its April level. The drop below January level is almost entirely due to the employment sector. Employers reduced their actual hiring and plans for future hiring. However, all other categories, we are ahead, and also including in the employment categories, we are ahead of last April. It is clear that some of the shine of January's spike in business enthusiasm vanished in April. The index of hiring over the last 6 months dropped by close to 4% in April. This is clearly reflected in the actual employment data for the Valley, which recorded a 3,300 job reduction between last September and just this March. This is a pretty big puzzle. Gentlemen, Neil, have you seen any evidence of this?
I think you see some of it, Cameron, in the marketplace to a degree. The business owners that I'm out with and talking to have taken a little pause. And I think there's some uncertainty in the economy to a degree relative around interest rates, for instance. We see some rising in the interest rates that have occurred. And I think that puts to question costs at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, I think to consider in the business world is the uncertainty of healthcare. As in January, trying to put forth a replacement for the Affordable Care Act and moving back is people really not knowing what their costs are going to be at the end of the day is really causing the pause, or in that. Generally speaking, as you said, when it comes to January, that it's still April's not that that off the end of the day, which is good news. People are very, very upbeat still overall about the Lehigh Valley and its position in the marketplace, as seen by all the development that we have seen over the past 12 to 18 months.
John, you deal with construction all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think Neil makes a good point in terms of the interest rates. I think people expected them to go up at some point. They couldn't stay as low as they were for as long as they have. And even with the planned increases, they're still relatively low in a historic sense. You see... But it's inevitable that you have kind of this enthusiasm when a new president and all of a sudden gridlock's going to end and we're going to get things done. And I think people, like you see federal government kind of revert back to the norm, which is gridlock and the inability to get anything done. And that I'd probably be tempered enthusiasm a bit. And what you're seeing right now is to the extent that the political climate impacts people's consumer sentiment and the direction they feel the economy's going. And so we'll see if people were excited about deregulation, people were excited about infrastructure investment, people were excited about a lot of the tax cuts, and so now at some point we're have to ask ourselves how much of that is going to get done, and I think we've seen not a lot of it, at least in the first 100 days, has gotten done. So that's one aspect of it. But again, as Neil said, we continue to be the fastest growing region of Pennsylvania. We're seeing really strong industrial growth, really strong. The office market is still strong. And, on we deal a lot with multifamily projects, and We're very bullish on residential and on the apartment market here in Bethlehem and in the Lehigh Valley as a whole. So we're still pretty bullish on the construction side and feel that the development side and you know the whole e-commerce revolution that we're in, and I mean the Lehigh Valley is the center of the universe for e-commerce, and that's not going to end anytime soon.
Yeah. Luke, you guys get involved hands-on at the operational level. What do you see?
Well, John and Neil, I agree 100% what's happening. There's a lot of confusion right now, again, with the political scene going on, but there's a lot of optimism. And some of that optimism came up in January, and they said, what's going on? Nothing's happening right now. And between January and February, there definitely was a slowdown of work. Mm-hmm. But they're very optimistic, and we're bullish going forward because the backlogs are terrific right now.
Okay. Well, that's great. I usually don't get everybody agreeing with one another, so maybe that's the time to quit.
That's right.
We'll try to do better.
We'll try to disagree in the next.
One of the basic aspects also that we are seeing in terms of the employment levels is that as the pool of labor is shrinking, the biggest part that is going away is not just the number of people who are available, is the variety of skills which was in the labor pool. Because you have to think about it, people just got those right off the bat initially after the recession. We saw a huge increase in employment and all of that. And that's not only limited to high-tech or computer programmers. We had another guest last time that was telling me that one of his clients is looking for 4D welders and he cannot find. Mm-hmm. And this is going on. Although I always thought that since the Phoenicians invented something called money, those problems are taken care of. You can always find somebody you want, just pay a little more.
Cameron, I think exactly right about skilled employers. I think it pretty much employees. It's pretty much across the board as I see today. The tightening of the labor market is not just happening in the skilled area. I see it in the banking environment. I've had a substantial amount of expansion within my bank in the Lehigh Valley, and there has been a reduction in a lot of ways in some of the jobs within the Lehigh Valley. But finding that right person at times is a major challenge in moving through that. One thing, I travel beyond Lehigh Valley as a customer base, and competition-wise, up in the northeast section of Pennsylvania, they continue to see themselves well-positioned in the versus the Lehigh Valley because they see the tightening of our labor market to a degree and believe they have a wider employee base to pull from in the future. So I think we have to continue to attract, the type of talent into the Lehigh Valley to do that. And I think as we continue to build the housing, whether it is the rental communities John was talking about, to attract people to come and actually work in the Lehigh Valley and have a nice place to live, I think that provides us an opportunity into the future to build out this type of world for us.
Great. Now, let's look at the size of the companies. Who are people who are doing the hiring? The smallest businesses in the Valley, those with less than 6 employees, which incidentally composes more than half of all the businesses in the Valley, were the ones who changed their employment the least. 73% of them did absolutely no change in their employment. And 8% of them, of course, reduced their employment, and 20% raised the number of people who worked for them. And the largest companies in the Valley, those with more than 100 employees, which is only 3% of all the Valley, showed the most movement. Almost half of them hired new employees, but a quarter of them laid people off. So they have a lot of movement going at that level. And amongst different industries, transportation and warehousing industry has the lead among all the participants in the number of new employees that each company hired in the last 6 months. Now, we have all seen this process in the Valley going with the Amazon and FedEx and all of these guys coming and expanding. And from what I hear, the commercial driver's license right now, it worth its value in gold. There are a high level of need for that. And that industry is now growing at a very, very rapid pace. Although manufacturing is still a little larger, manufacturing in our valley is not increasing much. It's increasing very, very slowly. Transportation in the last 3 years went up from 20,000 to almost 28,000. So that's a huge increase in one industry. But the funny part about this is that that is one industry which has the highest susceptibility to technology. Because we all have heard of that thing called auto, spelled with O, is a truck that drives cross-country on its own. So when these things are coming, and I had a client that designed robotic equipment for warehousing, that the thing goes and picks up what you need and puts it up there. And so as much as we're going to see a lot more trucks on 22 and 78, not that many more employees, I'm afraid. And that is one of the biggest challenges that we are facing, is this sort of technology. Now, in your field, Luke, you still need people to put the wires in and hang those things in. You have any robotics coming into your industry?
Yes, there are. As we're doing more technology to do layouts and prefabbing work. Okay. That's a whole different story that we didn't do 5 years ago. And going back a little bit to your employees that on the smaller group and they didn't move much, that's because they have more loyalty and they have more risk in the game, because if you only have three people and you fire two of them, nobody to do the work. So they have to stay tight, which makes sense.
That's a very good point. That's a very
good conversely, point. If you're looking to hire, if you go from four to five employees, you know, 25% increase in your you have to meet a much higher threshold to add that person. Whereas, you know, obviously a mid-sized company can hire and fire a little bit more quickly and make those decisions. But, you know, I in regard to what you talked in terms of the continued, you know, the growth in industry and particular logistics, it's, you know, Amazon doubled their size. They now have 2 million square feet. And the Lehigh Valley in 2016 grew added 7 million square feet of industrial space. And again, that much of that all due to the e-commerce boom. So, you know, that will not end anytime soon. There's still the vast majority of people still are not shopping online. So that's only going to grow. But, you know, you need to go to the Amazon or the Walmart, you know, e-fulfillment center. And it's your, what you said in terms of employment is these have no windows. They're all run by lasers and robots. It's totally dark in these places in the middle of the daytime. Yeah. And it's something right out of the Matrix. It's out of a movie is how these things are operating, with very little in the way of employees. And so
no one misses a day of work. Yeah. No one's sick. Yeah. No one doesn't yell about anything.
And no healthcare.
It's real simple. Yeah, no healthcare. No, exactly.
It was a big driver of this. So, it's not a surprise that you're seeing increases in the logistics side and transportation, and given, you know, what's happening here and what's going to continue to happen. But you're right in pointing out that, you know, you wonder what the future holds for those types of jobs with robotics and automation. And, you know, manufacturing is still a really big part of our economy here in the Lehigh Valley. But even that, you know, that's where you're seeing a lot of automation too. So while it may be 15% of the GDP of the Lehigh Valley, and I think people with the loss of General Western Electric or Bethlehem Steel don't think of us that way anymore, but it's still doing quite well here. But they don't need as many employees to manufacture what they once were able to, obviously. But so I think you're seeing that reflected in your numbers as well.
And John, that's a nail in the head. You know, relative. Go work our way through the Great Recession in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. You know, first of all, the housing market went on for such a long period of time where it was bouncing at the bottom. That housing, where people live, changed in a degree where they want to live. It's more urban today than anything in the suburbs. Relative to is we went through such a long period of time where there was a lot of people looking for work, and the businesses did not want to bring a lot of people back, they figured out ways during this time how to do more with less mm-hmm. and to use technology. And I think in almost every sector, whether it is banking, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's delivery, distribution, whether it's retail, it probably is, you know, the hiring back has occurred, but it's probably 75-80% of the levels prior to the Great Recession.
And we, you know, just sort of put my old hat on as mayor, we cut significantly our workforce and continued to, those public jobs have not come back either. So
yeah, right. No, definitely.
It's been cut across the board.
So.
And that was all out of necessity to keep, mm-hmm. to keep yeah. the doors open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when it came back, they said, well, maybe we don't need that many guys.
Yeah, every time after every recession, there is a change in mode of production. And the longer and harsher the recession is, the larger that would be. Because exactly as what you said, people during that period of time, out of absolute necessity for survival, have to cut back and do things differently. And then they discover, oh, this can be done differently, something mm-hmm. that they have never done mm-hmm. before. And that... Yeah. is the direction that we are moving, but with technology, the way it is coming, the changes that we are facing are so different than ever before. And because it is coming so very fast, the concept about these self-driving trucks is not that it's going to come in the next decade. No, it's going to come in 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is almost here at hand. And when that comes, all of a sudden you will have a bunch of people previously highly employable, very skilled, making very good money, will be staying out. And John, to your point about manufacturing, yes, we are producing a lot more than we produced before with a lot fewer people. But I did a calculation based on manufacturing jobs in Lehigh Valley. 1979, about half every other job was in a manufacturing company. I did salary comparison to today. Now, average manufacturing job today pays about 56,000-58,000 mm-hmm. grand. If it had continued based on other salaries, it should have been by now about 110,000 to 120,000.
Right.
So the level of skilled necessary for even the manufacturing has dropped, because you had a guy who could work with a furnace, had to do this thing, had skills, otherwise he would burn others, people would die. Now you are really pushing machines, pushing
more,
a button.
More and it's programming than anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. It's system management.
Mm-hmm.
As you guys know, I love flying, and it used to be that you had to hold the stick with your hand and do the whole thing. And during spring break, we flew to Florida. Basically, I was chatting with my wife all along, and she was telling me, look forward. I said, no, I don't need to. The machine is doing it. Everything
right.
is electronic. You just push a couple of buttons, and it does. But that means the level of skills necessary in many industries
mm-hmm.
gonna go away. We are getting into a dichotomy in terms of what we should train coming out of our high schools and out of our colleges. A bachelor's degree, which was absolutely essential 10, 20 years ago, is not as much necessary now. It becomes a lot, you need to be skilled. If you have a welder, it would be fantastic. Or then be an artist, a scientist, some getting to a different level than we have been before. Okay, guys, we're getting to our first break. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Good evening. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Neil Copland from People's Security Bank, John Callahan from FPSF, and Luke Cunningham from Westside Hammer Electric. Okay, gentlemen, we were talking about skills necessary, and Luke, you started talking about what we have to do.
Sure. I think one of the biggest challenges that we have in the Lehigh Valley is cultivating new talent, because things have changed in manufacturing. You talked about the trucks, et cetera, and some of the jobs are less skilled, mm-hmm. and some are very skilled. But probably 5 years ago, we interviewed 150 apprentices to get 25.
Right.
Now we're interviewing 50 and trying to get
25.
Good 25. So it's definitely a situation we have to look at, because it's going to make the Lehigh Valley moving forward. And if we don't do it now, it's going to hurt us in the long run, no question about it.
The reason you're getting 50 instead of 150 is there are fewer people who have those qualifications that you need?
That's correct, yes. Now, what I'm happy to see is that the community colleges, the VOTEC students in the area, and also the WIB board is all working together to try to get that thing out that says, hey, we need skilled grad people, and we need to get them skilled now.
Right. And remember, 1980s, early 1980s, people in the steel industry didn't think that this is going to change that fast. They had very good jobs, paid very well. Everything sounded so good. And then when it started going, it just went through this vicious circles of reduction, and it went down very fast.
But you said it. I mean, there is a company in South Bethlehem needs 30 welders. I mean, there's a company in South Bethlehem that needs machinists. I mean, they, and some of it is you got to change perceptions. I mean, what are people believe that there aren't good employment opportunities, you know, with these technical skills versus going out and getting a college degree. And the reality is that you have the just as much opportunity to be fully employed and making a living wage as a welder or a machinist in the Lehigh Valley that has skills than you are being, you know, a sociology major graduating with a 4-year degree. I mean, that's just a fact. So
it's almost going backwards.
It's yes.
Get your hands dirty again.
Yep.
Yeah.
And go home and have a good job.
It's a dichotomy
that
is created.
Job.
This mm-hmm. is one end, and then there is another end that you have to go and specialize in, say, computer programming or other things. And even with sociology majors, if you concentrate on hospitality industry, stuff like that, we are moving in that direction because we are becoming wealthier. Then services becomes mm-hmm. more of a thing that we will buy because the large approach that we had, look at all these big boxes that have all these kinds of things that they sell anything you want to buy. None of these boxes are as big as Amazon.
Right.
So if you want something that you don't need anybody to help you with, Amazon is the best. But then the leader of these big boxes, Walmart, has started with the smallest box. Mm-hmm. Remember, they were the guys who wiped out moms and pops businesses going into these different industries. They are reestablishing small box. Sell one item, three people there that could help you. You go there, they ask you what you want. They know that those products. Very much like the old moms and pops businesses that you go there, these are people who know what they are selling. They can help you. You can ask and get help. So we are becoming more service-oriented in one end, and in the other end, totally impersonal. Nobody sees anybody. Everything is electronic. It happens on its own.
And Cameron, that's been one sector that we can't even predict altogether the impact. I think we know with Amazon, but retail in itself is going through so much an evolution to a degree is the bigger malls. You know, what is the future going to be of bigger malls that have been built in the suburbs to, you know, have all the type of stores you want in them? And today those stores are going out, the nationals, and what's replacing over time is the ma and pa shops and that are going to focus on the people who actually are going to go in and do some shopping. Or need to do the shopping, to your point of Walmart, and also to the point of the shrinking job market that's created by technology. I have just one comment for you. Wouldn't you agree, Luke, relative to your 50 people to get 25, have you seen that something that has over time started to erode, or is that something, a recent phenomenon?
That's probably in the last 5 to 7 years. Before that, there was anybody you wanted.
Because in a lot of ways in the home building world, during the height of the market in new home construction, the early 2000s up until the Great Recession, was becoming a crisis point for framers and mm-hmm. plumbers and things like that, and they were having trouble getting it out, getting qualified people who wanted to spend the time working right. in some of those jobs.
I think the Lehigh Valley has great diversity in the industrials, the higher education, the hospitals. We're a little different value than everywhere else, I think. I think back in the day when you're putting up houses every day, I agree with you. But now I think we have enough to spread it around in the Lehigh Valley. It's a matter of getting the right people to do the right job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and moving on to the survey, when we look at companies' plans for hiring in the future, that dropped pretty good. That dropped 2.5%. Of its value since October. And that is, again, an unusual aspect of this survey, that while businesses are planning to spend more money, they are reducing the number of people they are planning to hire. However, interestingly enough, companies who have between 51 and 50 employees and 100 employees were the ones that expanded our plans to expand more than anybody else. And that is probably because of their size. They are more agile than larger companies, and because of their size, they have more money than the smaller companies. So they can move faster, they can make decisions to move. But one of the things I'm observing is not all about the process of decision making, and more about uncertainty. Neil, you brought in the healthcare process. Now, that's a major cost for most businesses. And if you don't know where it is going, it becomes an issue in terms of being willingness to pull the trigger and hire more people because, okay, I hire all these people, now all of a sudden I have to pay this extra money that I didn't expect. And if I want to lay them off, then I have to pay unemployment compensation, all of those stuff, so it is not free. Is not like something that, okay, I just turn off the light and I'm not burning electricity. You hire somebody, it is a longer term engagement than other things. And that is my confusion here. I really don't know where this is coming about. What do you think?
Well, again, you go in a lot of ways. I was with a firm last night that we outsource to. And they're more of a national firm, but still a firm that keeps around between 40 and 50 employees. Their number one focus in the challenge to expanding, and they cover every state except one, and that's Alaska. Their challenge in hiring is health insurance. So they're going the subcontractor route to deal with it. At the end of the day, when that doesn't produce the type of employment and the steady flow of income in the jobs. In the Lehigh Valley, I think that continues to be a consideration. In making a decision to hire, in banking, we do everything that is staged in our thought. And, whether it's a small company or a big company, bigger companies use real budgetary process to see where they're at to make their decisions, and smaller companies have it up in their head and know when it's time to expand. So I think that's playing a part.
Yeah. Well, and incidentally, again, transportation, warehousing industry is the lead among participants in planning to hire in the near future. But the interesting part, the part that it still shows a lot of enthusiasm, is with purchasing. When we ask our participants about their purchases over the last 6 months, we saw a major increase. The index jumped 8% above its last April's level. And it is now in the range that historically is associated with faster expansion in Lehigh Valley. So companies are spending more money than they did before, and in a significant fashion. But not hiring. And when we ask them about future, what are you planning to do? Plans for future expenditures also increased. So in both cases, we observed that increase coming, However, we don't see it in employment. Okay, what do you think?
I think two things. I think number one, go back to that technology piece. That definitely does cut into the manpower.
Oh, that's
issue.
Right.
That's
yeah.
No doubt about it. And the other thing, I think there's a pent-up volume right now. Again, January, February was a little slow, and a lot of that stuff's going to start coming out real soon, and I think people are getting ahead of that game right now.
Mm-hmm. Joe?
Well, you may not see it in people getting in new hires, but if you look at, I think, data here locally and nationally, you are seeing an uptick in people's salaries, and you're seeing actually, you know, their wage is growing at both the sort of low tech or let's say skilled low tech and college degree.
Right.
You may not be seeing that wage growth in sort of low skill employees.
Right.
But so while there may be less people getting hired, I do see an increase in the salaries of those who are currently employed.
Average wages in the valley is going up,
and that will ultimately bring, you know, more revenue into the valley, and you know, it's to the extent that consumer spending is going up, that becomes obviously cyclical. You know that, and also, you know, you see the upturn in the stock market. Whether people are, you know, feel it or realize that it's not money you can touch necessarily, but they feel perhaps a little bit wealthier. And feel like, oh, I can go out and, you know, maybe take that extra vacation or go buy a car. So you're seeing those things happen, and I think that will tend to, you know, be a rising tide that's going to continue to lift the Lehigh Valley. And like, things are good in the Lehigh Valley. We are unemployment is low.
Is there any employment right now?
Well, you know, I think you can make
zero.
A strong argument
it's
we're full, full
yeah.
employment.
Yeah, yeah,
I think you can
anybody
you can
who wants
make
to
that
work
argument.
Should be able to work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it is very. It is at that fuzzy range that it's called full employment. Of course, it's it's not really not 100% of people work, but even during wartime, 100% of people don't have jobs because you transfer, you do a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For our economy, 4.5% is full employment. This is as low as unemployment can drop. So we are looking there.
Cameron, I look at it as cautious optimism. Because I think your biggest expense still is the labor force at the end of the day. And I think there any change in the numbers that we're seeing here is relative to being cautious to the uncertainty that the climate that the new administration brings, interest rates, healthcare costs. The optimism side is there's the belief that the economy is going to continue to be very good in the Lehigh Valley. And I think we're all there relative to that thought process. Mm-hmm. But I think what you see is good business managers who are managing their expense side as a way to any potential weakness that moves into the future, you know, in that area. So I see the purchasing as, you know, reassuring that everybody is wants to be invested in the continued growth of this economy.
Well, Neil, as we all can relate to. Even supermarkets having no checkout personnel because the radio frequency little thing that they attach to every product and it's becoming cheaper and cheaper. Now it's getting close to a penny, so it's really most products can have it. You can just walk out and it calculates it. What about banking? How do you see this technology? Are you going to reduce number of personal bankers you have, tellers?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, a lot of that has already occurred in banking. Transactions in branches, no matter what bank you're at, are way down. And that's because it's twofold. It's technology, bank by phone, online banking, having your bills automatically come out of your checking accounts happen in that sense. Also part of it is long-time expense control at the end of the day, is to manage that expectation. With how competitive the rate environment's been. The last thing, again, it's a generational change. You talk to people anywhere from 18 to 35, a lot of them haven't stepped in a branch and don't step in a branch because they're used to going, you know, online, they're used to using their debit card, they use very little cash. When they need cash, they go to ATMs. So all these things are happening at the end of the day. That's creating the change in the transactions. And in the last 3 years, it has dramatically gone down, and I think it'll continue into the future.
When I need cash, I go to Luke's Mattress.
Oh, you should give the directions to
me. Yes. Please. Yeah, that's right.
We're just appreciative. He has a king size bed.
About 20 years ago, I was doing a study for a banking client, and I remember we talked with the director of marketing. He said, "You know, top brass want to know about telephone banking." And I said, "Telephone banking? Now, this is not that long ago, 20 years." And said, "Well, people don't have time to get home and just look at this, set up in front of their computer." He said, "Well, let's put the question in." So we dropped another question, added this question, and we did the survey. And before the total results came in, I called him and said, "I know I'm old. I didn't know you are old too, because all people were our age, me 20 years ago." I was old even then. Our age back then was saying, "No, they don't want telephone banking. Why would you use it? It was a very small number." Everybody else who was younger than us was saying, "Yes, of course, we want telephone banking." And it is so funny. And I have been in this business doing these types of survey of consumers finding what they want. So I thought, sure, I'm on the cutting edge. Of course, I know what to. But you can't divorce yourself from yourself.
True.
Or
as much as Luke would like to.
We're going to go to comedy show.
Yeah, I can see he even has access to your mattress. So that's a different. So it is very hard for us, having grown up in a particular way of doing business, to even imagine doing it so differently. I was talking with an architecture firm about planning and stuff, and my talk was that, you know, you guys are not building a building for 20 years or 30 years. These are 40, 50, 60 years, and you're still putting all the garages underneath all of these buildings. That will not be the case. In 30 years, most predictions are a lot less than that. A lot of people will go to their work from the roof because they are flying in with these flying cars. The drone industry is becoming the leader in this, and they are now testing versions of the drone that carries a person. Mm-hmm. It takes off vertically. You don't need to be a pilot or anything. It hooks into a computer system that air traffic control has for the low-flying entities, and it goes there. And in the meanwhile, you can read the newspaper on your iPad while you're getting there and then get out. So actually, the garage has to be on the top.
Well, and even just, you know, you look how car-centric our cities are and our communities, world as a whole. And, you know, you don't have to have an automated car to see the idea that, you know, just with Uber, that people can find a way to work, you know, even without public transportation, and they don't need a parking garage. They're going to get dropped off at work, and they're going to get picked up at the front. And, you know, so we've got 600, 500 space parking garages, and you wonder, you know, who's going to be using these, you know, five or 10 years from now. So it is a challenge in the development world, you know, building buildings now for, you know, for millennials, it's what kind of technology can we put in now, and what can we, and because we're not building for today, we're building for 20.
Biggest challenge there is
we're going to pick up the rest of this on the other side. This is Cameron Afshar with WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY. My guests this evening are Neil Copland from People's Security Bank and Trust, John Callahan from Sorry about that,
John. You know, I got to put a plug in. It's Florio Prucci, Steinhardt and Fader. That's
there
the law
go.
Firm that I work
with. Okay. And Luke Cunningham from Westside Hammer Electric. His is easy to pronounce.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah. Okay, we stopped last time talking about the automation, and you started talking about automation at home with Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, not in my house. My house is not all that automated, but I can tell you that, you know, just as we're, you know, we've got a 95-unit project going on, you know, high-end luxury one- or two-bedroom apartment on 3rd Street in Bethlehem, right across from the community college. And so as we sit with folks like Luke is actually the electrical contractor for that project, and try to discuss, you know, you talk about trying to plan for the future, which the three of us have really no idea what the future holds because things are happening so quickly. So you're trying to build a building that's going to, you know, not be obsolete in 5 years, right? So, you know, just the entry into the building and how that is managed. They've got systems now where it's where you basically, you know, you call the, like, you don't use landlines. There's no, you know, like the old Seinfeld where you kind of press the button, you buzz people in. That's obviously, you know, gone by the way of the dodo bird. But, you know, now it's like now you, on your smartphone, a visitor can call you, and you don't have to be home, and you can see that person through the camera. And if you want to give them access and let them into your apartment, you swipe it, and then they go. So that's kind of baseline now. Like, so many of these kind of bells and whistles have become standard. And if you want to rent to, you know, a millennial, they expect to have these kind of just your package management system and how, you know, with the advent of Amazon and you know, so many people are ordering these things online. You know, it used to be you might get 3 or 4 FedEx packages for a unit of 95. You might get, you know, 95. Like, you might get one per unit, you know, that day. So, you know, just how do you manage that whole system? And that's all automated now through the smartphone. So it really is. On Monday, we've got a great company here locally in Lehigh Valley, Lutron, that's kind of leading the way on many of these home automation products. And so I was with one of their salespeople because we're going to go look at the Lutron experience and try to figure out dimmer switches and all these Alexa with the
shades,
Amazon.
Everything.
Yeah. So he's showing me how he is controlling the lights in his home from his smartphone. Yeah. And he's kind of playing around with it up at night, and he gets a text from his fiance saying, you know, I'm trying to study, stop turning my lights on and off, you know, so, and it happened in real time, and there was no delay from him turning the lights. So, you know, so we are going to, you know, we're going to build this, these are, we're not talking about apartments in New York City or in Philadelphia here. We are talking about,
Lehigh Valley.
And it's that's kind of where we're going with technology for our residential units, for these apartments.
Yeah.
That's a major challenge for both Luke and John into the future here is you can't plan for something you don't know. And that's one of the biggest challenges in the future. And it's not just in the home, but it's also work environment today is what is the professional getting out of college looking for a job? What kind of work environment do they want to work with? And what kind of technology do they want access to? And, you know, I just see a lot of rewiring into the future.
I'm glad to hear that.
It's all Wi-Fi. You don't need any wires.
I just see much rewiring.
We need wires to go wireless.
Yeah.
That's right. Still need to get it there somehow.
Yeah, but it is true that we're going so much wireless. And even if you think about electricity, historically, every time the economy did better, we used more electricity. That was one of the indicators we always use for measuring how well the economy is doing. Over the last 5 years, usage of electricity in the United States has been dropping, despite the fact that more people are connected to the electric system. Part of it is all these lights that people change to LED.
Yeah,
so instead of burning 75 watts per light, you burn 11. But this 11 even is way over what it should be because our wires in our ceilings still carry 110 volts. These things use 12, so they have a transformer which burns something. In not far distance future, all the wires in the ceilings will be 12 volt because the usage would be LED. So instead of burning then 11 watts, they will burn probably 3 or 4 watts. this is the reduction we're going to see in these. And also heating and air conditioning system, all of those are changing. So look, you still have wiring to do. It would be different.
We still do. No question. Yeah. That's correct.
I'm sensing a gift back for Greenway Commons. We're going to get some money back there. Thank you, Cameron. You're negotiating a good deal for us.
You want more, don't you? You want more. You just talked about Lutron, didn't you? The reality is the business going forward and going back to employees, which we started this whole conversation with, is how do we get there? You know, I remember my grandfather, when he was starting the business, he would say, we want to hire to retire because you had a stable base. You knew what you were going to do. You knew how you were going to get there and when it was going to be done.
Yeah.
But today, to John's point, is we don't know what's going to come up next. You know, we try to keep up with everything that's coming. And you read this article and you see that article, it's different. You're like, what's going to happen here? What's happening there? And again, when we were growing up,
I'm a little younger, but go ahead.
you're actually a little young. You're like, a little older, John. That's all right. But reality is we grew up with a father and a mother. They're working at the mill it might be or wherever they might be. Now, millennials, we don't know where they're coming from. It's hard to pick one and say, that's the guy we want or that's the girl we want.
Well, most millennials don't want to retire in the same place. They're gonna work 6-7 jobs between now and retirement easy.
You know, that was the educational thought about 10 years ago. You're going to have 5 jobs in your life. Mm-hmm. Most of us are going to have 1 or 2. But I think the millennials are going back the other way and say they want to find something they want to do, what they're happy with, and they want to continue going there. Mm-hmm. That seems to be their mindset.
Okay.
Even jobs will change in as we are going, because think about it, all these electronic systems that are coming about, mm-hmm. There will be obviously a bunch of people who will specialize in hacking into them and a much, much larger group trying to make them secure for another month until they run out of and the hackers find a way to break it. So there will be new jobs created. It would be totally in a different environment mm-hmm. on that end, which is highly technical. And on the other end, you will have a lot of things dealing with interpersonal sale and services, because as people are becoming wealthier, they can afford now to have, you have a refrigerator, you have your TV, 5, 6, 10 after a while. You want to go to a nice restaurant, you want to have services that is generated because of that. That's where the difference is coming, that we're going to see a lot of movement in that direction. And our educational system is definitely not geared up to this process of the dichotomy that it's coming about. When I went to high school 100 years ago, all high schools prepared was you go to college. That's it. There's either you go to college or you have failed. This is not where we are going to be. I'm sure my grandchildren wouldn't have that sort of a thing to look at because the type of jobs, possibilities are different. Also, we all still think in the linear format saying, driving to job now, flying or driving, getting to a workplace. In the electronic age of 30 mm-hmm. years from now, you may be sitting at home and being at work at the same time. and that will not be necessarily the exception to the rule, as still there are some people doing it now, but as the process. And even with my small organization, we had interns that the deal was that they can work at home. Although we had a Skype channel that was set, and everybody had to be on that, so we could talk anytime we wanted with the person, or the person could talk with others. But it is he would sit in his room at home and do the work and stuff like that. So from time to time, I would look in and say, "Okay, how is this going? How is that going?" As if he's sitting in the next office, and you don't need as much office space mm-hmm. because all of a sudden you're moving in that direction. And I'm seeing with banks as well, Neil, that they don't need as many branches as they need back then. Every corner, they need to have a branch, then to go next corner, having a branch now, it is just you have to have presence.
No, you're exactly right. You have to have that presence, but there's also a whole segment of the community that on a long-term basis is going to need and want to come into space. Mm-hmm. Our older members of our community, are not into technology as much.
That's true.
And they are very relationship-based, mm-hmm. And want to come in. There's other parts of our community that don't have access to technology and need to count on, that ability to come into a local branch. And I think that's been one of the challenges in the Lehigh Valley is that the community branch has been closing in some of our communities throughout the Lehigh Valley and becoming more centrally located. And I think, in the financial services area, we have to be mindful about that at the end of the day. And the point of the millennials, where they are today, I just sit back in a lot of ways in amazement because they approach things differently, they expect things differently, but also they come up for solutions. And they're going to create their own solutions in the future. And that's one of our biggest challenges in what other business we're in, from banking to Luke, your world, to John in your world, is we can't read their minds, at the end of the day, because, another 10 years from now, it might be headed in a totally different direction. We could head back to the suburbs, and some of the, at the end of the day. So these are a lot of the different trends that we have to contend with in the future.
I think we are getting as close to the Jetsons cartoons as we have ever been for real this time mm-hmm. around.
I always wanted to be Elroy Dan.
Oh, I like those flying cars going at high speeds, not getting tickets. Okay. What about revenues? Businesses in our survey basically didn't experience any increase in their revenues over the last 2 years, actually, a little reduction in their revenues that we have observed. And when looking to the future, their forecasts are, at least for the present time, of a higher revenue, but historically, that has been all over creation. It is obviously a lot harder to guess what your revenue is going to be next 6 months than looking at your ledger and say, this was my revenue last 6 months. But it doesn't look like it's going to explode going up. And that is the surprising part to me, simply because of the notion that if I am a business and there is this expectation that my tax rate gonna drop from 35 to 15, even if I don't think it's gonna get to 15, let's say I say it's gonna get to 18 or 20, and now I'm not paying 35, I'm paying maybe 30. Still, I can get 10% more income after tax revenues if I do absolutely nothing different. So I should automatically think my revenue's gonna jump up. I don't see that in the data.
That might just be the realization. I mean, a couple of things that, we are in the seventh year of recovery. Like, we've been at this a little while, so the revenues have been kind of coming up over time. And are we a little sort of attenuated or played out at that point? And how much can they continue to expect the revenues to grow? But I think go back to sort of tempered enthusiasm or expectation about, our ability to get some of these bigger things done, whether it be deregulation, whether it be, a reform in tax reform or right. Simplification of our tax system or infrastructure. So, until we can start showing that, some of these big picture, goals can be accomplished at a national level, I think you're going to see people kind of tempering their enthusiasm.
Yeah. Well, we are in the seventh year of this recovery. We are almost at full employment. But election of new president historically has kicked everything up. And, of course, we saw consumer sentiment go up, although it adjusted a little bit in April. But stock market is going up. And despite all the pundits predicting it that it will not go any higher, it continues to go higher. The stock market has a mind of its own, doesn't listen to anybody. But this is where we are. This is a long period of growth, longer than many others. I can't think off the top of my head the one that was this long before this high. The 1990s, we experienced a lot. But this one was from a very, very deep recession coming up, and is continuing. Interest rates have gone up about 60 basis points, but is this the area that we're going to see a recession happening?
Well, I think in the point you've heard me say cautious optimism and in some of the numbers tempered is a very good word to describe this, is that, you know, my view of the numbers and view what I'm seeing is people are preparing for that as a possibility. Mm-hmm. Because of rates going up and because of where we are in the cycle in the seventh year.
Okay. John, what do you think?
I don't know. I kind of see the rate increases as a sort of a symptom of a good economy, and the fact that we're actually in a position to raise, you know, interest rates because of concern for inflation or you know, the economy overheating. So, I think if it's done well and smartly and sort of in a, you know, a disciplined way, and people expect that they're going to come, and it doesn't come as a surprise to folks. I think that's, it's kind of what we need at this point because the economy's had such a good run here. So I don't necessarily think it's going to put it hasn't yet put a damper on the housing market. But again, that could be folks going out and buying a house before interest rates increase. So just kind of in anticipation of. So I think it remains to be seen kind of what the impact will be on the larger housing market here in Lehigh Valley or nationally, but I think it's kind of a symptom of things going well, if anything.
Luke, yeah. What about you? What's your pipeline tells you?
Well, my pipeline right now tells me that we're going in the right direction. Okay. We definitely have more backlog right now than we did this time last year, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Again, but we worry also about what comes after that next, because we're cautiously optimistic, but, you know, when's that going to happen? And we keep looking out and find out where we're going to go.
Well, obviously, if we have the $1 trillion infrastructure bill go through, we will not be looking at any recession anytime soon. However, we're going to be looking at very high interest rates because we're going to have a big deficit. And as all of these companies jump in to build these stuff, inflation going to go up, and we're going to be facing a lot of old stuff. And based on, obviously, 100 days is not enough time to guess, but based on what we have observed, there is a, the $1 trillion wouldn't go through the way that it is already designed. It would probably be adjusted. And again, it is the concept that we really don't know where we are going, even in the short term, as much as we all talk about very long term. It is even in the short term, looking at this year, we are not really sure, because usually everybody looks at all the things which are in front of the Congress and thinking, okay, these are the things that are likely to pass, and these will be what the expected impact of government expenditure will be on different things, our regulation will be on my business. But right now, because so many things are up in the air, we don't have much of a option there. And on that happy note, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me. This is Cameron Afshar with Lehigh Valley Discourse from WDIY.